League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Every Sunday we get together with a guest from the distance running world,
giving you an insight into the lives and training of some of the UK's best athletes and coaches.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major podcast streaming services.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast, where we post about our past and present guests, host giveaways, and much more.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Right, welcome back, people. British Champs is just around the corner. A week tomorrow, as we're recording this on Friday the 17th. Man, obviously, we normally do our little predictions of how we think it's going to go down. Give our opinions. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're not. But hopefully, you guys will enjoy listening to how we think the event's going to unfold. Matt, you good?
Super good. This is probably my favorite episode of the year because, like I say, British Champs has rolled around once again. It doesn't feel like a year ago. We were predicting those, you know, that Olympic British trials, those Tokyo, who was going to get on the plane to Tokyo and stuff. So, yeah, year has flown by and an interesting year because I feel like, although we've seen a lot of people compete and it is starting to like pop off a little bit, I just still feel, you know, it's just a bit subdued in the UK and there's not as much hype going into British Champs, obviously, as there was last year, given it is Olympic trials.
Yeah, I think just the fact it's a little bit earlier than normal, which it seems like we still feel like we're seeing people's early season races go down.
Yeah.
But they're running out of time to have it as an early season race sort of thing. Obviously, you mentioned last year we're seeing who's going to get on the plane to Tokyo. This year, it's all about Eugene and the World Champs. Obviously, there are European champ spots on the line, but there's, I don't know what the exact wording is for the sort of selection policy for that, Matt.
Well, there's no official trial for European champs. So they're just going to pick that team off pretty much anyone nailing a standard, you would have thought. So yeah, technically, you know, this British champs shouldn't affect your selection for the Europeans, but we all know it might bear some weighting.
Yeah, and I think in some ways it should. Bear some weight in how you perform against, I guess, competitors in the UK in terms of being selected for a major champs. Look, we won't bore you too long with our little introduction, but obviously top two with the standard will go to the World Champs. That's the same as it has been, and then there'll be that third discretionary spot. We're doing some listener questions later on, so I think that might get covered, but we've spoken about that loads before anyway. But should we get straight into it, mate? Should we start with the 800s?
Yes, mate. Let's do it. That's what people want to listen to. They want to listen to how people are performing and, of course, our predictions as well. And, yeah, just the champs in general. It's just what? I think you said a week tomorrow, mate. It's going to kick off Friday night next week. So this time next week, from when we're recording, the British Champs is going to be underway with those, you know, early heats. I think the 1500 heats are always on a Friday night as well. So up in Manchester.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I didn't realize it was Friday, mate. I thought it was
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Proper champs getting to anyway. nearly be like USA's. We'll see one day maybe. Right. Anyway, 800 meter women. Let's kick it off. This is an event that last year I think we thought, wow, like this is seriously popping off here. These 800 girls in the UK, and we were actually just chatting a little bit probably about 15 minutes ago, mate, weren't we? Just how. Actually, we're not seeing all of those people at their best quite yet.
Yeah, it's an interesting one for, you know, a lot of people, a lot of women, if you like, in that 800-meter field because the likes of Alex Bell, we haven't really seen her compete too much over the two-lap distance this season. Obviously, she had a terrific Olympics, but she's already got that standard, so she hasn't had to rush into it. Like we said, this season is a little bit earlier than usual. She hasn't had to run, so probably haven't seen her race as much as, you know, someone like Gemma Riki. We've seen Ellie Baker start to race quite a lot now as well, you know, those sorts of athletes. So she's going to be an interesting one and one to watch, I think, coming into it. But yeah, I mean, when you come off the back of an Olympics, I mean, you know, we saw what Riki and Hodgkinson did, and you kind of just expect to be seeing that every time they step on the track. I mean, Hodgkinson, the way she's dominating races right now, she must be worth something pretty quick again, comfortably in that 155 mark. The way she, you know, even last night, where she's front running races, winning gun to tape, controlling races, still ending up in 57. Yeah, she's just looking supreme. Riki, kind of a bit up and down. And I think that fourth place in Tokyo last year was an incredible achievement, you know, running 156 for fourth. But, you know, we saw how, I guess, disappointed she was with that. She really wanted a medal. And I don't know how that's, you know, affected her winter and stuff, whether she's had, you know, niggles or whatever throughout the winter. But yeah, she's not quite reached the heights she was at last year. And especially coming into last year, do you remember? I think we were almost picking Riki for the win at the trials. I think I did. You know, we knew Hodgkinson was good, but we were kind of just thinking, well, Riki's the one with a bit more experience over Keeley. And I think she was my favorite to win the trials last year. So she was coming into it with a lot of confidence, and even going into the Olympics, she was still, you know, someone you were looking at to make a medal. She's obviously not at that level this year.
Yeah, for sure. And I think last year, that's what we said. I think it was, we didn't predict to Keeley to take the win in the trials. And I think it's because we hadn't seen her for about a month before the trials. Maybe she'd done a 400.
Yeah, I think she
raced really well like early season, and then kind of looked like she had a bit of a training block. This year, complete difference, obviously. Getting that Olympic medal, winning the Diamond League overall, like, comes with, you're in all the big races. So we've seen her a fair bit. And as you mentioned, she looks in fine form. Obviously, she's competing at the 400 at the British Champs next weekend rather than the 800. I mean, in some ways, fair enough. Obviously, she's gonna get picked anyway. Like, she gets that fourth spot. So we have three spots up for grabs still, even though she's not competing. But does it change the dynamic of the final in any way? Obviously, just the fact she's not actually going to be on the start line.
Yeah, in a sense that I think a lot of the other girls are going to be relieved. But no, I mean, you know, the way Keeley's running this year, you would expect if she was in the final would be a pretty strong race. And she would be at the front dictating it. That's now going to be down to someone else. And whether those girls want to actually be at the front of that race, I don't know. The way a lot of them race, even, you know, when you look at Riki, you look at Alex Bell, you know, Jenny Selman, Ellie Baker, these sorts of people, you look at them and none of them really enjoy being at the front of the race and dictating it, but one of them's going to have to be. So I think it does change the dynamic, because if Keeley's there, they all just go, well, let's just run behind Keeley and we just scrap for the minor spots, you know. But so I think they're going to have to think about how they're going to run that race and run that final come the British Champs. And I think, to me, that's probably going to be the only difference. Someone's probably going to be a reluctant leader at that point. And it's kind of how they respond to that, how they cope with it as well. So, but I think it's quite nice knowing that basically there is an extra spot. So, you know, you can come third at the British Champs. So, but look, let's just run through. I mean, while we're on it, there is only actual people with the standard is Alex Bell, Gemma Riki, and Laura Muir. Laura Muir is down for the 8 and the 15. She may do what she did last year. You think she would, the way she's performing, you know, over 1500, pretty much guaranteed a spot over 1500, given, you know, there isn't even three girls with the standard. Well, there's just three girls with the standard. So, you know, you would expect Laura Muir might skip the 15 and do the 8, seeing how impressive she was this week over the 800. So she's going to be in the race. So I do feel like almost the pressure is off. You just kind of have to make sure you're in that top three. If you're Riki or Bell and Muir,
yeah. I believe I'm right in saying that the Eugene timetable does allow you to double as well, because obviously Muir selected not to actually go to the Olympics for both last year. Whereas this year, obviously, you say, yeah, she probably will likely get picked in the 1500 anyway, rightly so, given her kind of performances over the years and this season already. So that's important for her as well.
Oh boy, I mean, she's looking really good over 800 meters. You know, she was second behind Strongfield yesterday, second behind Riki. There's rounds. Could we see her in the 800 at Worlds? You never know. The 1500, not quite clicking for her yet.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, obviously, put herself in both. Like, she's clearly more than capable of doubling up, I'm sure. We've seen her double up in the 15 and the 5 before.
Agreed.
So,
agreed.
Yeah, but I would say if we're going to talk about, like, someone actually going and taking it, front running wise, I could see it being Riki or Muir, just because they're probably, I don't know how their coach works it with them too. I know some coaches say that they don't talk to their athletes about what the other one's doing, but I could see them two having some sort of team's kind of training partner game plan going into it.
Yeah, and do you know what? Like, I'll put it out there now. Yeah, the favorite for me in this race is easily Laura Muir. You know, the way she ran last night, you know, coming off a heat as well. The way she can always handle domestic fields pretty well. Her experience, I would probably say, you know, Laura Muir is heavy favorite to win that 800 at the British Champs. Yeah, she might work with Ricky a little bit. Those two are usually pretty good at, like, kicking off together, making that real kind of big move with like 250, 200 to go. Is what Muir loves to do, you know, off that top bend, always kicking hard. They may well work, you know, work as a team, but yeah, I'd expect Laura Muir to win that, and then kind of it just filter in Alex Bell and Gemma Riki scrapping for second and third as well, to be honest with you. I think Ellie Baker's going to be an interesting one for me. She seems to be running pretty well over 1500, running out of time to actually get the standard. Obviously hasn't got the 800 standard either. It's like, where does she, you know, where can she pick up a medal? She'll probably still back herself in the 800, rightly so. But given Laura Muir won't be in the 15, and you've got the likes of, you know, Adele Tracy, Millie Courtney in the 1500, and the way Baker is winning races right now over 15, I would fancy her to medal in that 1500, as I'm not quite sure she's going to have the wheels over Bell, Muir and Riki.
Yeah, with that then, in terms of running out of time for the standard, do you think, and I guess this applies to all the races, but mainly this 800, do you think anyone's going to go and try and run the standard in the race? Because it is the last...
It is, yeah. It's interesting.
The final. There's no time afterwards. So, I mean, if you are an Ellie Baker, Jenny Selman, maybe, like, do you just go for it?
Yeah, mate, like, it's a good point. And they're all kind of knocking on the door. Conditions look good. Conditions aren't going to be as hot as they are today. It's going to be just a touch over 20 degrees. You know, it's up in Manchester as well, probably a bit less. Not very windy. We know it's a fast track. It could be done. And this is what I'm talking about. You know, if there is someone who wants to front run it, but I just don't think they'll quite go through quick enough, and someone won't quite want to sacrifice, you know, to run the time, really. You probably do have to go through 57 high, 58. 58. You could get away with a 58, I suppose. And I'm just not quite sure anyone will do that. And even if they
Keely's not doing it, really. Because
if Keely's doing it,
you probably think, yeah, I'll just try come top three and I'll probably run the standard in the race.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's going to be interesting. And yeah, the thing is, the only people who need the time are the likes of, yeah, Selman, Baker. Celiana's actually on the accepted entries as well. So
we might. Yeah, I mean, Oscar and Clark, like, she's traditionally, yeah, she's front run a fair bit as well. So
this is it. But I don't know if those girls are quite good enough to go out there after a heat and front run a world championship qualifying time. It would be a PB for them, something they've never done before.
Yeah.
If they did do it, then they deserve to be on the team for sure. But I don't know if they've quite got the capability to be able to do that.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, it turns out, like, in kind of last year, we were saying, oh, it's going to be probably the, obviously, like, we're, even with the four spots, it's probably going to be one of the hardest teams to make. But right now, as it is, with three with the standard.
And then Keely.
And Keely. Like,
should be a pretty easy right test. So, yeah.
At the moment, it should be straightforward, but we will see how it all unfolds.
Let's go on to the men's in.
Yeah, so with the men, obviously a few more with the standard. Max Bergen's got it. Archie Davies got it from last year.
Yeah, Archie Davies, to be fair, 144 last year. And that, I think that was just as the window, it was like something like the 28th of June or something, that window was available, and he ran it just a couple of days after that. So, yeah, he's got that 800 time.
Elliot Giles has it. Ben Patterson has it. And Dan Rowden. But then we have a few more guys, like, kind of there or thereabouts. Like, the 800 guys, there's kind of quite a lot of depth for them.
Yeah, there is. What's that? Five guys with the time. And then obviously you've got Jamie Webb in there as well. We know what he can do. And he seems to be just edging his way closer and closer to that standard. He's so close as well. 145.3 the other night in Turku, which is just outside. Who's going to win this one? Obviously, we've got Langford in there as well, who's looking good. I mean, this is an interesting debate, actually, because quite a few people were saying, given the depth of the men's 800, there should be semi-finals. Heats and a final is two it's just too tough and you're gonna lose out. But I kind of think, you know, if that was the case, I really think that the heats would almost just be a bit of a procession, and it would just be like, you know, how many people would you actually be knocking out in the semis? Not many. And then
you're better off just making the time a lot quicker to get to British champs.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than having three rounds.
Yeah, I think that would probably be a better way of doing it. But saying that, you know, probably good championship experience. And I know a lot of people are advocates for three rounds. A lot of people want to see three rounds. You know, then you're going to make sure you get your kind of best eight in the final. And, you know,
I'd like to see three rounds, but I'd like to see it mirror the champs you're qualifying for. So say in the champs you're qualifying for, you get a day's break between each. I'm not saying it's possible. I'm saying in an ideal world for me, if the world champs is heat, day off, semi, day off, final, that's what British champs should be in an ideal world. I'm not saying we could do that at the current state of like the standard of the UK running and things like that. But I think that, yeah.
Yeah, that would definitely long out the British champs.
That's what I mean. But I think, yeah, in an ideal world, that's the best way to replicate who makes it.
Of course, you know. But yeah, look, it is going to be very competitive. When we start talking about, you know, who's going to win this one, we know what Dustin did last year. Unfortunately, Dustin's 143 ran last year was a bit early. It was outside the window. To be fair, he doesn't seem to be at his best this year. So it's, you know, guys like that, you're probably looking at thinking, is he going to make a final? You know, is Oliver Dustin, a 143 man, going to make a British final? But, you know, let's start talking about, you know, the winner, because Giles is slowly coming back. We've seen him run. Hands down favorite is Max Bergin. And Lam, you talked about in the women's race, someone running the standard. I feel like Bergin, I think I saw the interview with him after Finland. He will be doing British champs. He will be there. And I don't know, quote me if I'm wrong, but that I think this might be the first time we've actually seen Bergin.
Well, I was just about to say, let's hope he is there, because I think we get excited. And then unfortunately, we haven't seen him there.
I don't think we've seen him at British champs yet. So, and when you talk about front running the standard, I think it will be quick. This man will not hang about. You know, with the likes of Giles and that in the race, I think Bergin wants to win, and the way Bergin can win that is running 143, 144. So I think if you get yourself in that final, you have a very, very good chance of running the standard if you don't have the standard.
Yeah.
And in that case, in this race, you're probably looking at it and thinking top three, that's probably enough. You've got to come top
unless three. Unless someone like, say Giles came fourth, I think they'd probably pick him.
Tough, mate, because depends who comes third, you know.
I'll say it's right. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they'd take the top three unless
I don't know if they would take him. I don't know if they would take Giles. I mean, I know he's, you know, been to championships, you know, he's made semifinals, he's got an incredible time under his belt. But for me, in this case, in the 800, like, I feel like the 800 is such an event where, you know, your time is almost irrelevant. You know, 144 guy, 145 guy is what you do at champs. You know, we saw Langford in 2017 come fourth. Mm. You know, so it's not all about, and also Giles's form this year isn't suggesting that taking him, you know, that he would, that taking him to a championship, would you be better off with him than not? So, you know, because
I'd say I'll pick him.
No, yeah, you know, so someone like Patterson, it'd be awesome to see him get an opportunity. Even Archie Davies, you know what I mean? If he comes up there, but you got Yusuf Bizimana as well, NCAA finalist. He could sneak the time in the final.
I mean, that's it. People like that who've like been racing the NCAA this season, like, could be seriously sharp for something like the British champs. It just depends how much of a toll that's taken on people like him.
Yeah. Always, you know, all those rounds and championship races that he's done, is the British champs going to be a stretch too far for him? But yeah, one thing, couple takeaways from that 800, expect the finals to be very quick.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it out there and say we're going to see a winning time inside 145 in that final. I'll be shocked if we don't. I think Bergin is going to win it. He's going to run away with it and dictate the race. And I think everyone's going to follow it, and it will be quite strung out. And then I think in that one, they will just have to take the top three.
Yeah, I like to see it. Like, and I think Giles will come in the top three as well. So I don't think, But yeah, it's just probably who gets that. Yeah, for me, Giles takes second. It's just who gets that third spot. I think that third spot's right open.
Yeah, I'm actually going to put it out there, and I think it's going to be, for me, I think it might just be between Rowden and Webb. And I saw Rowden drop out the other week. Don't know what was wrong there. He's had a couple good early races, but...
Well, Rowden's someone that a couple of years ago looked like he was about to start dominating this event in the UK.
But this is mid-distance, you know. I think mid-distance, you know, you do just have these years where it just clicks. And you do just, you know, every race is just almost like a joy to do, you know. And then I think, you know, if you have a little bit of an up and down winter or a couple up and down weeks, it's just not quite clicking. And it's really hard, you know, when you're looking for those fine margins, you know, a second feels like a milestone.
Yeah. So you said it was going to be quick. What do you think Bergen's going to go through the first 400 in then? Because the qualifying time is 145.2. He obviously doesn't need it, but we've seen him go through. Went for a little bit slower last night. We've seen him went through in 50 the other day. So what do you think takes a British champs field through?
Yeah, I think it'll be the same, mate. I think it'll be 50. I think we're seeing a guy who just knows what works for him. And I think, yeah, he'll take that through in 50 point. And just hold it together like he did, to be honest.
Well, yeah, it's plenty quick enough for a lot of others to run 145. So, be interesting to see. Right, over to the... the 1500, the main one, if you like, for a lot of people. It's always the hyped up the most for us distance fans, I think. Women's race, we got obviously Muir and Riki both entered for both at the moment. An interesting one on the start list at the moment is Ailish McColgan. What do we think about that and how that might shake things up?
Well, obviously, Oslo Diamond League last night, McColgan DNFs, which is a huge surprise given the form she's been in over 10K, over 5K. To be honest, a 1500 at champs works for her. Yeah, she definitely doesn't need to perform in a 5K or a 10K to justify she should go to the world champs. She is an absolute no-brainer and should be on that plane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and a 1500, what, a month out from Eugene is like a nice sharpener before she goes into a block of training. But because she DNF'd last night, I think doubtful we see McColgan at British champs at all, to be honest. I think she's probably going to head back up to altitude somewhere and just start focusing on Eugene and getting some training in. We'll probably see her on the Diamond League circuit before Eugene at some point. But yeah, I think that's actually pretty doubtful. I think it'd be awesome to see her in there because, yeah, you know.
Well, again, this is what I'm saying. So at the moment, like we could see, so like we kind of highlighted like people with a standard and obviously people who are kind of the, in our eyes, the top sort of contenders at the moment, and we've got Adele Tracy got a standard, Katie Snowden's got a standard, Riki's in there without a standard, Muir's in there obviously with a standard, McColgan with no standard, and Melissa Courtney Bryant with a standard. Like if all of them are in there, it could be a insane race, but it probably looks like I think that we'll just have
Bryant, Snowden,
Tracy, and yeah, and Courtney.
Yeah,
probably in reality it's just going to be the three of them.
Yeah, defo. And on that as well, another reason why Ailish probably won't do it is because, you know, it's like a tactical championship 1500, as opposed to, you know, she would probably get more out of like running a Diamond League 1500 and really attacking that 4 minute barrier. She'd probably get more of her body that way as well. So maybe not. Maybe she wants to prepare.
Yeah, we could be wrong though, because it's on there at the moment where she wasn't in previous years. She hasn't been. She's been on for the five and then not done it. But I'd imagine,
like I say, we're going off
quest to be invited, I want to say, because they normally would just presume she wouldn't. So
yeah,
maybe she is going to be there. Be good if she is.
Yeah, she's down as accepted at the moment. But yeah, I don't think we're going to see Muir or Riki. So the winner in this one is tough. I'm going to just lean towards Adele Tracy. I think her tactical ability over 800 is going to transition. She's not. I've actually added her myself to the start list because I'm just thinking, because she wasn't on the accepted entries at the moment as of Friday the 17th of June. And I'm like certain she must be doing the 1500. Why would she do the 800? She has the standard in the 1500. Do you know what I mean? There's only two other girls.
She's accepted on the 800.
She's not even on the 800 entry either. So she obviously just is being a bit lazy. Adele Tracy, if you do listen to the podcast, accept your entry so we know what event you're doing. But yeah, so, and I'm just thinking, you know, it would be an absolute no-brainer for her not to do the 1500, given that she is, you know, on equal terms with Snowden.
Yeah. I mean, unless there's any injuries we don't know about, then I think, yeah, like you said, it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Exactly, exactly. So if she does do it, I'm putting her down as the win for sure. I just think tactically, yeah, obviously we saw Snowden get it wrong last year and stuff, and I just think in a head-to-head, she's used to, you know, those 800s, which there is no room for error. And I think that's going to transition to a 15 as well.
Yeah, and Adele looked really good racing over that distance indoors as well.
I think
you're right. But this race obviously is a bit of ifs and buts and maybes at the moment, because we've got a start list that probably isn't going to be the start list, but then we could be completely wrong with that. So maybe it'll be a race of the champs with all of them in it. We will see. But at the moment, it looks like we're agreeing on our winners so far, mate. So we'll see if that carries over to the men. This is something that, obviously, Olympic year last year, fabulous performances. Whiteman, Kerr, and Hayward all making the final at the Olympics. Add Neil Gawley, who's also got the standard, as well as our kind of 1500 meter Olympian boys. Then you add the likes of Copeland's on the entries. Giles is on the 1500 entries as well as the 8. George Mills is in there. Stoney is in there. We had on the pod recently. James West kind of coming back into some good form recently. And we always know how kind of close he is to things like that. So this could be a really good one.
Yeah. I just want to say, obviously, Whiteman's run last night was very impressive. He got after it, really put himself out there, really... Yeah, kind of. It's not often you see, you know, people just kind of go at a pace they maybe can't sustain. And Whiteman did that. I think he really wanted to test himself last night in Oslo over the mile. So I think he is actually in probably better shape even than he ran. And I think he would have been looking to go. I know he still broke the Scottish record. He'd be chuffed with that. But I think, you know, I saw him at the bell and I'm pretty sure it's sort of like 3:49. I think it was 2:50, sorry, at the bell with a lap to go. So he must have only closed in around about, you know, 59, if you're being generous, or a 60, which, you know, for the pace he was operating at is quite a drop.
Yeah. Because I was like, just having the confidence to go with the likes of Jakob and Ollie Hall, like the shape he's in at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it just shows that he must be like pretty happy with where his training's at. On the other end of it, like you got Gawley, who I think he posted on Instagram about it as well, that he almost got himself in the wrong race and not going with it, and then closed up well and ran 3:52. So two very different ways of running it. Whiteman came out on top, but when it's a kind of an out and out race without the likes of Jakob and Ollie Hoare in there, it's a completely different story.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can't wait till we do our World Champs preview, because yeah, it's going to be tasty. And I think Ollie Hoare is looking good. I think Jakob was. I've seen a few people say Jakob dominated last night. I think Jakob is beatable. You know, he was fourth in an 800 a couple of weeks ago. Last night, I think, had someone been there, you know, your Chariots of the World, Abel Kiptang, your Teferas, Tefera was in the 5K. These sorts of guys been there, you know, instead of Ollie Hoare. I think that could have been an interesting battle in that mile yesterday. But yeah, the men, I want to just talk about the men's 1500 world scene as well. There's only 16 men in 2022 who have actually run inside 3:35.0, which is the qualifying time. And I just thought that was quite a stunning surprise. When you look at every other event, I went through and I looked at every other event, you're looking at 30 people, kind of like minimum, all the way up to maybe in some events, is, you know, almost 40 people who are inside the standard. So, you know, around about 30 people have all got the standard in pretty much every other distance event, except the men's 1500, only 16 inside 3:35. I don't know if that's because obviously people ran it at the end of last year. It counts, but the 1500 running has been a little bit, you know, we just see, if you look at the Euro circuit, George Mills, prime example, how many times has the guy run 3:36? Like, you know, obviously we've seen Stonia have a breakthrough run 3:35, but just seems to be so many races operating in 3:36, 3:37, and we're not seeing, you know, those times inside 3:35, sorry, you know, those 3:34 marks. But
yeah, I'd say it's an event where there's almost just a big jump from, like you say, that European circuit where racing being won in around 3:35. And then the next step is Jakob winning in 3:28, 3:29.
Well, Jakob and Hoare and like, you know, I think, you know, Whiteman, Hoare and Jakob, you know, were a whole cut above.
Mm.
And obviously, Jakob was a cut above them too. But, you know, Whiteman was maybe just that level below. But even Whiteman was just a whole, you know.
I think you've just got a balance between choosing a race where you probably have to win it and be only you getting the standard to running a race that is just too quick for you and hoping that you somehow get dragged around and don't fade too much. Because you just see paces on the kind of the major circuit, like the Diamond League, going off ridiculous paces because the likes of Jakob are doing the race. So the pace at the front is ridiculously hot.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Let's talk about this one then, because prior to the season starting, you'd probably be like, look, Josh Kerr is undoubtedly the favourite. Obviously, medalled in Tokyo last year, has been phenomenal, like for kind of a couple of years now, especially in some of these tactical races and things. Had a great battle with Whiteman last year and kind of just pipped him. But this year we've seen almost some weaknesses there.
Yeah. And I think there's only one reason for that. I think it's the fact he got an Olympic bronze medal. Honestly, I think it's just such a mental, it's not a mental stress, but I just think, you know, you've almost done, like every athlete sets out in this sport wanting to get an Olympic medal. And even Jakob himself has commented on, he found it hard. He's struggling motivation wise to actually get himself back. He's achieved everything he ever wants to achieve, you know, and now he has to set new goals. And, you know, the only goals these guys can really set, you know, Kerr can really set is, yeah, world championship goal. But then when you see Jakob do what he does every weekend, is that, you must kind of have doubts in that. And then so you just probably start setting yourself time-orientated goals. And time-orientated goals, you don't want to be a slave to the clock. They can be pretty demoralizing because you're just always referring to splits in training. Are you in that shape? Are you in that shape? But yeah, Kerr, obviously, I mean, races-wise, he's pretty similar to last year. You know, I think obviously the Birmingham Diamond League that he did, classic, windy May day in Birmingham. So it's probably nothing actually to worry about because I think he ran like 3:33 in pretty mint conditions in Seattle last year anyway, and just basically did nothing until the champs. So
I don't think there's anything to worry about in terms of making the team, but I'd say going into the year, like 3 months ago, you'd probably just say he's kind of nailed on to win the thing. Like,
yeah.
Whereas I don't know about you, but if it was me, like right now, I'd probably say the guy I think is going to win is probably Gawley. And he, despite losing to Whiteman last night and not being in the team last year, I don't know. Just, I think we might see kind of that Neil Gawley we saw a few years ago, just a ridiculous close.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think it's going to be Whiteman's year. I think Whiteman's the hungriest out of a lot of them. I think, yeah, Gawley, I think, really wants to make that team. Obviously, you know, missed out. That was hard for him. And he is running very well and he is winning. You know, he won quite a few races out in the States. And he was basically won the race within a race last night as well. You know, beat everyone bar those top three. And we know the race isn't going to be quick. We know no one's going to take it out at 3:35, 3:36 pace. I can't see anyone who would actually want to do that in that race. To be honest, Gawley, absolutely no. People like Hayward, Copeland, Giles won't do it, I don't think. But, you know, Stonier and Westy, those guys, they're never going to take it out. So, you know, it's not going to be quick. So Gawley is going to feature. And I think he will make the team. But I think Whiteman's going to win.
So you think...
Yeah, Wyman's never won it.
Yeah, see, but you're saying you don't think Hayward's going to make the team?
I think Josh Kerr could be the one not to make the team.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Hayward's running very well. Basically, that third spot, I think, is between Hayward and Kerr. To be honest with you. I don't know why I'm doubting Olympic bronze medalist, but it's just classic though.
Hayward was second Brit at the Olympics as well. This race could be. And
yeah. I just think Whiteman's racing really well. He's really hungry and unlike the others.
Do you think any of those four like are going to have a shocker line and be outside the top four? The guys with the standings.
Do I think anyone else will get amongst it? I don't. No. There's one reason. I know Stonia has an incredible finish. He has an incredible finish against domestic fields. You know, when you start talking about an incredible finish against the like of Hayward, Gawley, Whiteman, I don't think it's as incredible as, you know, when he kind of outkicks, you know, a domestic field or one of these European fields. So
you'll remember.
Huh?
It's just international class, but
Yeah, and Copeland, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be, I don't know where he's at, doesn't seem to be at his best, to be honest with you. You know, I thought him and Westy ran really well in Watford, and I thought that's a lovely stepping stone for the pair of them. Westy kind of jumped on 338 the other night. Copeland,
I think it was... Yeah, obviously, I don't know how much that elbow injury will like, affect his running.
That's what I mean.
Sure it is, because...
Yeah. And also, Copeland's up against it because he actually hasn't got the standard. But then you might be looking at it and think, will Copeland even bother? You know, he's going to the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
He might just, get in a block of training. You don't know.
And that's the thing. But then obviously we mentioned there's no official kind of European kind of qualification from this race. But look, if some of those guys miss out, you've got to think, you've got to select them for Euros if the top guys don't want to do both.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to put yourself, if you want to be in with European selection, you've got to put yourself in and amongst it. In sort of race to show how you stack up like the best of the rest, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. It is quite a deep field. As well, we know what those 1500s are like. So, but when we're looking at the best of the rest as well, I don't think they're quite at the level they were last year either. You know, I remember last year there was just an obscene amount of people inside 340 even. You know, and there was everyone running 340, 341. We're not quite at that level this year as well. So even domestically, you know. Well,
it depends how you define the rest though. Because I think like, say, if we define the rest as the guys about a standard, the best of the rest is the likes of Copeland, George Mills, Stonia. And so it's...
Yeah, no, I'm talking about those guys kind of...
Guys outside the top eight, if you like.
The guys who are going to make up the heats. I don't think they're quite...
Yeah, okay.
They were at last year. You know, I think going into...
A massive jump last year though in the depth from... for like making the British champs, didn't we? Because it was the event with the most athletes in it last year.
It was crazy, wasn't it? It was absolutely crazy. And for some reason, we're not quite at that level. And I think it shows, you know, everyone's gone back to their everyday lives and they're not full-time athletes anymore. So
you're going to have so much of a sheer effect.
But yeah, you know, to summarize, I think Wyman's going to win that. I think Gawley will come second. I think Hayward and Kerr are going to battle it out for third.
Okay. I think Gawley takes the win, but I probably agree with you. And I don't know. I don't want to say. Who knows? I can't make up my mind. I think Gawley's going to win, and I'm going to sit on the fence with the other three because it take me too long to think about it. Steeplechase.
Steeple. Yep. Let's go to the steeple. Interesting one. Okay. Let's start with the women. Obviously, Lizzie Bird, Amy Pratt, standard. Elise Thorner, kind of new girl on the block, based out in America. She's just outside the standard, 932. Standard's 930. I think we're going to see much of what we saw last year. Lizzie Bird and Pratt, they're going to run away with it, man. They got so much on the rest of the field. Haven't really seen Lizzie Bird be at her best this year. And I think, again, because she was, we know what her setup, you know, is she doing a PhD or in Colorado when we had her on the podcast? She kind of said she was doing something pretty academic heavy this year, based out in Colorado. She had the standard, and I think she's probably just been training her ass off out there. So she's going to be obviously back. She's going to do it. I think, yeah, these two are dead certs to the team. Who's going to win out of Bird and Pratt? I mean, I don't know. 50-50. I actually think, like, when you look at it now, Pratt's probably done more races. She's probably more race sharp. But, you know, obviously we saw last year, Bird just sat on Pratt, waited and waited and waited until I think it was about 150 to go or something, 200 to go, kicked on by. Think we could see something similar again. So
And I guess the only thing that would change that is if Elise Thorner decides she wants to run after the standard, and then she's the one to lead it, which then shakes the race up a bit. Because I think last year definitely was two going into it, and now we've got almost a third who's who's kind of getting there or thereabouts. So
I don't know if it shakes. I don't know if it shakes the race up too much, man. Like if she led it, like she'd have to be in really good shape to lead it, run the standard.
No, but I mean, in terms of last year, Emmy Pratt led it and then Lizzie Bird sounded it the whole way. But if they're both sitting on Elise Thorner.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mean like it's going to be an interesting...
Not as clear cut because like to front run a whole steeple and then kick away from someone else as good as Lizzie Bird is like a big ask. So.
Yeah, I still think Bird wins.
Yeah, yeah. I still think she probably does. Like just from how she performed in the Olympics was like incredible result for her. So she can take some sort of form from that into this season then. I mean, she'll be fine. But yeah, Amy Pratt's run, like good. She could run a good 2K steeple and things like that as well. So we'll see. But it's probably, yeah, I think it's the steeples, obviously, at the smallest fields in the champs. So we'll see. It's a shame we can't get more in like both of these men's and the women's races, really.
Yeah, it's tricky though, man, because you've got to set a respectable standard because we know that, you know, and like you say, we're going to talk about the 5Ks as well. I think in these distance events, you do have to be quite harsh with the standard because otherwise, you know, it can get, you've got guys in there who could be 20, 30 seconds better than, you know, and more better than people in the race. And I'm never actually, I don't know. I think that's just...
Oh, no, I wasn't saying...
Championships at the end of the day.
Saying it would be nice if we could get more people under those
standards. Oh, more depth and stuff. Yeah. I totally agree with you. And look, let's move on to the men's thing because, you know, unfortunately on the men's side this year, it's actually the only distance event right now where guys haven't hit that world standard, you know. I think we got 12 in the lineup, but I know what you mean. But the races, you know, and I think the 5K is similar. The races in the UK, there's just not...
The standard has got a lot quicker, like in recent years.
Of course, you know, it used to be 905. It's now 855.
But I mean, in terms of the world standard, like 822 compared to 830, I think a few years ago.
Absolutely. And I do think, you know, some standards out there should probably be revised a little bit. You know, like 930 for the women. I think a lot of women are doing that now. And that's, you know, that could be cut down as well. So, but yeah, no, 822. I mean, there's still 32 men inside it.
Well, I think that's the thing. Yeah, it's a quick for a UK steeple time in terms of what we've seen in the past 10 years. But when you look at people running sub eight, then you're like, well, you're still 20 seconds off.
Exactly. I think it's about right. I think as well, when I say there's 32 men inside the qualifying standard for the Worlds, that is off of 3 per country. So there's obviously...
Yeah.
Quite a few men more. I think it was in the 40s or something. When you include, you know, multiple Kenyans and multiple Ethiopians, that's just, you know, 32 men with a maximum of 3 per country inside that world stand. But look, I think this men's race is going to be fascinating, though. We talk about, can they go for the time? Can you run the time on a day? The weather looks good. And there's a lot of guys who actually have a lot to race for in this. You know, Johnny Hopkins, Coleman, Norman Pierce, obviously Zaki Boy as well in this race. You know, Norman and Zach look closest to that world's time. Coleman has run exceptionally well over the flat this year. He must be in shape to run that world time. Hasn't quite clicked for him yet either. So can, you know, maybe those guys go for the world time. But then when you look at people like Batshuayi, Pierce, Hoops, Jonathan Hopkins, sorry, they're on the cusp of that Euro time. That Euro time's 8:30. Those guys could all get inside that Euro time as well. Yeah. If the race is, obviously it was 1:08:24 last year, which is, I don't know how many years you could go back, but yeah, if you follow distance running and steeplechasing in the UK, I don't think we've seen a domestic British Championship final over the steeplechase be won in sub 8:30 in a long, long time.
Yeah, so, and obviously that
1:08:24 last year was quite a shock.
A lot of work put in by Mark Pearce then. And for a bit first. So, yeah. But like you say, like this year, they're probably not in, like Pierce is probably not in the shape he was to go and front run that.
Doesn't seem to be, but you know.
You never know what people are actually kind of, what shape they're actually in, but on the surface, it doesn't look like it. So I'd be surprised to see him do that when, especially like you say, when the Euro time probably is definitely within his capabilities for him to then go and chase a world's time. Be surprised.
Yeah, I don't know if like, yeah, the world's time is obviously a stretch. These guys have been in high quality races this year, and haven't hit that standard yet anyway. But, you know, for the, I'm just looking at the fact, you know, last year was 8:24. And I think there's enough guys in that race that can handle 8:30 pace or even inside 8:30 pace. You know, like I said to you, you know, even Batshuayi's 8:31 man now, Coleman's sub 8:30, he's an 8:28 man. These guys can operate at 8:25 pace, you know. So what's to say they can't, you know, rumble at all? But I think there's a lot up for grabs in the sense of, yeah, Euro times and world standard might be a push. But I think there's going to be, you know, four or five in this with a few laps to go, at least a couple laps to go, maybe even coming into the last lap. It's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. Goodness me, winner. Oh, that's always a tricky one, you know, to pick a winner. And see, we always shy away from it.
I mean, this is the only event where everyone knows exactly what we're going to say. So, yeah.
Yeah, so there's no point even disclosing that. But yeah.
So we won't say the winner, but we think, Norman second and Coleman third, and then you know I think they're winning this, so
yeah. So it's, yeah, is it the, I think unlike the other races, yeah, there's quite a lot on the line there,
yeah. And it's a shame that they haven't got the standard, but at the same time it could make it quite good, almost a better race, because they're not necessarily worried about it, because I don't think any of them are gonna go hunting for it. Yeah, like you say, the Euro one, but I can't see him hunting for 8:22.
Yeah, neither, to be honest with you. So we move to 5K now. 5K as we draw the predictions to a bit of a close. Start with the women then. And I just want to mention straight off the bat, Callie Thackeray, insane run last weekend. Like that was... I don't know. I don't think that got enough credit. I was actually commentating. Yeah. I don't think I even gave her enough credit in my commentary, to be honest with you. It's one of those things where you don't really know what you're watching until afterwards. You kind of look back over the results. You're like, yeah, Jesus, man, that was a ridiculous run. You know, 15:06.
When was the last time we saw that in a BMC?
Exactly. Right. You know, to be operating around that 15-minute mark was just something. So, yeah, I want to say, you know, the way she was able to kind of grind and front run that, she's a big... favorite for me going into this one alongside the likes of Jess Judd. And Markov has a standard, we know she can kind of hang with it. They're going to be my top three. McColgan's in accepted, I doubt she'll do it, especially not 5K. But she might do, and obviously if McColgan's in there, I mean, she's gonna, you know, you would back her to smash that race. I think she went through in 15 flat when she ran 30:11 or low 30 minutes the other day. Angler. She went through in 15 flat then. So she would mark that race, and I don't think she's going to be in it for that reason. It's kind of all pointless. So
yeah, I think, yeah, like you say, like if we are going to see her, I think it will be in that 1500. And I think I'm almost more interested to see how she'd fare in the 15 than in the 5K anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be, that's going to be a case of Judd and Thackeray battling out for the win.
And it looks like they both seem to like be happy. Obviously, Thackeray was like chasing the time at Watford, but they kind of seem happy with actually just pushing it on. And we know Jess Judd loves to just make it a hard race and really go for it. So we could see a like pretty decent time up at the front as well.
I don't think it'll be particularly slow, to be honest with you.
But even last year, I remember actually, because I think, was it last year where Ockenden and Markov were both?
They ran 15:10. They just missed a steady point. Yeah, they were. Yeah, and I think we're going to see something similar in a sense that women don't really like that. They just don't seem to be very comfortable in tactical races. I don't know if it's unfair saying that, but you know, they just seem much more comfortable just actually going from it from the gun.
Yeah, and after maybe they should have more front runners. Like, but I do know what you mean. Like, it seems to be. Most of the races we see, I'd say, are closer to their PBs than not.
They just always seem to get after it, chase it. And I think, you know, when you got Judd and Thackeray in there, Sam Harrison in there.
Well, yeah, I was just about to say, Sam Harrison obviously was involved with in Callie Thackeray's race the other day, and Obviously, yep. Somebody comes from the longer distances. I would not be surprised to see her just start laying it out like she did. She really pushed on a Highgate as well. So, look, we'll see. It could be a really good race. Obviously, we got five with a standard, but we don't think McColl's going to be there. So four battling out for two spots. Unless we see a standard in the race itself, because like you say, probably won't be slow. Standard's 15:10.
Yeah. That's it, mate.
For the win then, are you saying Cali Thackeray?
Am I saying Cali Thackeray for the win? No, I'm saying Jess Judd for the win. Cali Thackeray will come second, but those two will be 1-2.
Yeah, and clear or
I think they'll run away with it, but I think Markov will be next. Mm-hmm. But then I just want to mention actually Sarah Inglis. She has a standard, ran 15:06 the other night in what was she ran it at the Portland meet, in what was very, very bad conditions, hammering with rain. And I'm not quite sure where she's based. I think she's based in Canada or America, somewhere over there. But she's got the standard. She could feature. And we literally know. I mean, I know not much of her. I haven't seen her race before. Just clocked that result. I was like, wow, that's a kind of a name to add into the picture. So she could do a surprise. I mean, look, there's five of them with the standard going into that. And there's only two spots up for grabs, given McColl has taken one. So. Mm-hmm. Tough race and probably the deepest race we've got actually out of all of them.
Yeah. And interestingly, we've got more in the women's five than we do in the men's five. Whereas I think for the other events, am I right in saying the men's fields are bigger? I don't want to be wrong on that, but I believe 15 is pretty similar. Eight, we've got.
Yeah. It's, 15
is pretty split. Steeple, there's more in the men's. And then, yeah. More in the women's 15, women's five than in the men's. So good to see that we kind of got, I guess that makes it pretty even over.
Yes, it looks like about 20 of them in that race, maybe more.
Good to see lots of women getting under that British champ standard as well.
Yeah, Jesus, stacked. Men's five then, interesting. Oh, should we start with Sam Aitken? obviously, Sam Aitken pulled out last night in the 5K in Oslo. He's not accepted his British champs entry yet. He's got a standard in the 5K. We obviously know that. An incredible 13:03. Surely he's going to have to turn up at the trials. Surely they, you know. But, you know, the only other people who have the standard are Mark Scott and Andy Bouchard. So he's probably banking that no one's going to run the standard at the champs. So he's going to be that third man if he hasn't accepted his entry. But I would have thought he would have to turn up at the trials. Do it. So interesting. Paddy Deaver's in there for me. He won it last year. Would love to see him and Mark Scott battle it out, to be honest with you. He's got the 10K standard Deaver, so he doesn't have to do the 5K. You know, he can kind of bank on that 10, you know, 10K, him and Mark Scott going for the 10K, to be honest with you. But if he comes back, I'll be over the moon because I think he was an exceptional last year. I think he's running well. He ran 13:20 in awful conditions as well in Portland. So I think, you know, when you probably look at him, he's probably worth a 13:15, you know, round about his PB. So, and Mark Scott, you know, what shape are these boys in? What shape are Bowman in? Seem to have really dipped their form that we saw. And I just wonder if that's because they're in a crazy block.
Yeah.
Up at altitude in Utah. Like, is that why they're not quite performing as well? If they're not eased down at all? But then why would you toe the line in a 5K? You know, it's not really a race you need to do too many of if you are kind of in a deep training block. Why would you do one? So interesting, but they're not running as well. Obviously, you know, saw them kind of get beat in the 10K trials and at this point in the pre and stuff as well. So, but you kind of look at it and say Mark Scott's the favorite, but I think.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned last year's British champs, and obviously we can't forget NCAA's last year as well. Paddy Deaver, that was exceptional in the 5 and the 10. So look, he's someone who knows how to win. Won the British champs last year. Could see him causing a bit of an upset, if you like, this year.
Yeah, I mean, Scott on his day is pretty much, you know, these guys can't live with him. So I'm still going to back Mark Scott. I think Diva might come up.
Oh, yeah, on his day, for sure. I just think there's a, it's not a clear cut thing. But I don't know. I guess, though, if Mark Scott didn't think he... Like, Mark Scott does have, like, an issue in terms of, like, preparation and stuff. Like, he's probably someone who doesn't need to do it. So he wouldn't need to contest it if he was not as in good shape, sort of thing.
Yeah, given, obviously, world bronze indoors. You know, 12:57 as well, personal best. You're right. He might not even turn up, to be honest with you. He's on the edge, he's accepted. Andy Bouchard, someone who does need to turn up. He has a standard from last year. We're going to see him toe the line. You know, if he does toe the line... I heard he had his chest fracture.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it's just what Butchart's going to see, because, like, we know over the years that when Butchart's, like, on it, he's really on it. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, this race is a bit, I don't know, it's a bit unknown, if you like what's really going to happen. Like, Mark Scott, obviously, yeah, he's your clear favourite, but Paddy Diva's exceptional in championships. Andy Butchart, like, again, like I just said, depends which Butchart turns up. Got a few, like, more guys, and obviously, like, so Jack Rowe in there. He's, like, had a few solid races, like, just missed out on the European standard when he raced early season. Mm. But we'll see. I think the 5K of British Champs is an interesting one, because it just strings out a ridiculous amount. Like, most,
gets pretty brutal, doesn't it?
And, like, we've seen, I think, yeah, the last time Mark Scott did, obviously, he's, like, decided to kick away, like, pretty early doors and make it.
Yeah.
Make a bit of a long run for home, which could be exciting if he does that, and the likes of Bouchard's in good shape and Diva goes with it, we could see a good battle between those three.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be too tactical, to be honest with you. I think one of those boys will make a hard move, just string it out a little bit, because I think that's the best way. If you don't make a hard move, you know, you could fear, you know, someone like, I don't know, Bouchard or Diva's got an incredible kick. So Scott, to be honest, they're not really going to get out kicked, these boys, are they? But,
well, I think if anyone's got to do that, it would be Bouchard. But obviously,
I would say Bouchard as well. But obviously, questions over his fitness.
Yeah, then he can't. Looking down the list, Alex George had a good run the other night. So there's a few guys in there.
Tom Moore is going to be an interesting one if he's fit. If he's back. We know what he's someone huge question marks over, but there is a real cluster. There's a cluster of guys between 1340 and about 1350 ish, really deep. And there's going to be a big, you know, if it does break up, there's going to be a big chase pack here, and there's going to be a battle for the minor places, I've got to admit, which is going to be good to watch, good to see play out. But yeah, when you're looking at a winner there, you'd probably have to go with Mark Scott. I'd have to say Diva's going to come up second. And then Bouchard, huge question marks. You know, and I think someone like Jack Rowe, he's tried and tested. And Mil Caress isn't in there, unfortunately. But, you know, I'm just trying to see who could, you know, Jake Smith. I'm not sure he's going to quite be able to live with it. But yeah, you're right.
Someone that if it is slow at all at the start, he might go and start pushing the pace on a little bit. We know he likes to get up there and kind of move things along at the front.
Well, yeah, because, you know, he has got a good bit of ground on most of the other guys. Like I said, there's a huge crop of guys running 12:40 to 12:50. Not many guys running sub 13:35, sub 13:30. So,
yeah, and he seems like he's in pretty good nick at the moment. Say Atkin does go and contest it. Do you think that shakes things up with maybe not with Mark Scott, but with Paddy Diva and Bouchard?
Nope.
No, you think they run it? They beat him anyway.
If Atkin contested this race, I'm not sure he would feature in the top three. I'd be surprised. Just someone who, you know, seems to really struggle when it comes to pure racing, but then again, seems very comfortable to front run and stuff. Actually, saying that, that's probably very harsh of me, because in the 10K, he was doing a terrific job in the 10K at Highgate. And he did do quite a lot of the work there and was up for it, and obviously got competitive as well and just missed out on the time. But again, it's still, you know, there was lights there, there was a crowd. It was still, although there was a championship.
Yeah, it's not the same as
still a time trial format. It was still a time trial format. And he seems to be incredible at time trial formats. But the minute, you know, racing comes into play, it just doesn't. doesn't quite click for him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I think it's an important point you make, like, because we have our 10K trials, but they are just a glorified time trial where the British Champs medals within it.
Yeah,
it's not. So it is.
Well, I think, you know, when you go into Highgate, and you're a 10K guy, I don't think you're worrying about tactics. I don't think you're worrying about other guys in the field. You're just thinking, well, if it's my day and I can hang on and I can hit the pet time and hit the pace, chances are there's only going to be one or two of us going to hit that time. So we're going to book our spot.
Yeah.
You know, whereas this, you're kind of thinking, geez, yeah, you know, at 3K, you start looking around who's still here, who's not, you know, and it's a race.
Yeah, for sure. Look, that's it. That's it for the events. I think, yeah, on that last one, I think, yeah, Mark Scott, we think, unless he's not at his best, and then I think people like Diva could feature. But probably not as many as we'd like, obviously, with the standard in that race. Bit like the men's steeple.
Again, it's a
13, oh, it's a tough standard, don't get me wrong.
It's very, very hard standard. You know, to put it into context, you know, 13-13, if we see a race be won in 12:50, we're like, wow, that was an incredible race, right? So, you know, that standard is only 23 seconds. And then, you know, on the women's side, you know, 15:10, you know, last night the Diamond League was won in 14:25. You know, it's 50-odd seconds or 45 seconds quicker than the World Champs qualifying standard, you know? So that would be like a group of guys running 12:30 in a 5K. That'd be obscene. So I think the men's standard is very, very, you know, harsh. Or the women's standard, I think, given the shoes and stuff and the way the events moved on, that could probably drop to kind of 15 flat, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right there. It is tough. But anyway, you hopefully you've enjoyed listening to our predictions. But if you think they are crap, let's put it that way, we are doing a prediction contest as we have done in previous years. So that will all be announced on our Instagram at Sunday Podcast, post on Twitter as well, at Sunday Podcast as well. There'll be a prize from Sports Shoes. Basically, it's just if you haven't come across our prediction contest before, predict your winners for the British Champs events, and then the best one will win some sort of prize. Probably a pair of spikes or a pair of trainers from sportsshoes.com. So that will all be on Instagram on Monday. So for tomorrow, for you guys listening now. So yeah, you can compare your predictions to ours. But look, we posted in the week on our socials as well about potential kind of topics or questions that we could chat through that you guys wanted to hear. So we'll just go through a few of them right now. We might have covered some of them just kind of through the chats anyway. First off, Matt, who's the best of the rest after Kerr, Whiteman and Hayward? Well, I think we answered that in a way because we both put Gawley in our top two. So
yeah.
For us, yeah, they're not necessarily the best three, even how well they performed last year at the moment.
Yeah, agreed. Gawley is definitely the best of the rest.
Yeah. Okay, this event, I think this question, sorry, I think is a bit of a joke, but I think it's almost important for us to answer sometimes well and not putting anything against the athletes, but this is the kind of the worst event quality-wise at the moment.
Yeah. Well, we kind of answered that as well, given the, frustratingly, the men's steeple, one has got that world champ standard. So I guess if you gauge it off that, probably right now, you know, on the world scene, that is probably the weakest event.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, like, and particularly when you compare it to like the men's 15, when we're getting three guys in the Olympic final, to then in another distance event, only one distance up, we've got no one with a world champs time. And like,
yeah, but then, you know,
no secret, me and you, like, we're big fans of the steeple event, so it's nothing against that, and like there's some like great athletes in there, but
I think, you know, I've had that chat with a few people in the sport as well, and I think that's a product of what is valued most in our country and what is valued most in our country, what our country is built off, what every training program in our country is built off, is 1500 meter running, basically, and that is, you know, what we do. And look, you know, look at the BMC, for example. 1500 meter running, 800 meter running is nothing but encouraged, and the other events, you know, as we get longer, Definitely as a governing body, I think, you know, we care less. And I think, you know, coaches, athletes as well, fans of the sport, they also kind of, you know, care less as well. So, and I think that's why we have so much depth in 1500 meter running. I mean, it's a no brainer. That is what our sport in the UK is kind of based on, really. You know, and over 5K, like we're not at the level we should be over 5K, considering how many 1500 guys we got. You know, we're nowhere near. You know, we should have guys running 13.0. You know, look at America. They seem to have a lot more guys running 13.0s now compared to us. And we hands down wipe the floor with America over 1500 meter running. So, yeah. But I think, again, Americans put more value on 5000 meter running in America. And they put more value on that through the age groups as well. You know, kids in high school are running, you know, really high quality 5Ks.
I think just the emphasis they have on cross country as well.
Cross country, yeah. And obviously it's
a massive thing. And obviously we get a lot of turnout to like cross country, like the national cross. But in terms of like the top athletes doing it, maybe not.
Yeah, and I guarantee you know 1500 meter running as well. How many races are there where you can run a good 1500? Countless. How many races are there where you can run a good steeple, a good 5K? Very hard to come by unless you're in a diamond league. You know, that next level down.
We mentioned Copeland and Westy obviously running 340 the other day, like the equivalent of, can you imagine the equivalent of that in a men's steeple in a BMC?
Yeah, but when you look at that race that Westy and Copeland did, there were 20 guys in there who...
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, you wouldn't see it. We wouldn't see it on...
You wouldn't see that depth. No. And that's like... And to be fair, that's a drop down as well. You know, you'd want to step up as well from that. You know, you'd... So...
Yeah, for sure. So hopefully, yeah, in years to come, we'll see some improvements. But suggestion here: the winner earns pre-selection for the following year's major champs.
Whoa, absolutely not! I think the winner. I was going to say the winner should obviously have like a bye to the British champs, but I mean they've won the British champs. Of course, they're going to be running a qualifying standard for them.
Yeah.
So that was a stupid idea. No, absolutely not, man. We've seen how quick this sport changes. I mean, when you look at last year, like we said, the Olympics, you're looking at people like Ricky and stuff going, wow, and, you know, Hodgkinson and, you know, Alex Bell and Kerr, and you go, wow, what are they going to do? But it doesn't work like that. You know, coming off Olympic year, I think there is a bit of, you know, that real sort of mental hunger and that edge is lost if you kind of outperformed yourself in that Olympic year. You know, compared to guys like Whiteman, Gawley's back now. Gawley's back at his best. Obviously, in the Olympics, he wasn't. Our sport changes. Giles is a prime example as well, injured. You know, seems to be getting back now, but absolutely not. Absolutely not.
No, I agree with you there. I think it's just, changes too quickly. And I think if you looked at even some of the kind of the athletes winning the champs last year, like there's no, by no means guarantee they're all going to make the team, let alone be given like a chance to just go without it. Should we have Commonwealth Games selection races? Obviously this affects multiple countries, so it wouldn't be a repeat of the British champs, it would be three separate champs.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, the whole Commonwealth Games as a whole is a bit of a farce, to be honest with you.
Selection. Yeah.
Well, selection, the fact that you're only allowed, I mean, we got Commonwealth
numbers,
games.
Yeah, for
us, Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. You're not even gonna, I think it's pretty poor the fact that there's going to be people competing. Well, there's basically going to be a lot of very, very good people not competing at the Commonwealth Games, and with no disrespect, there'll be people a lot worse than them but competing because they just run for, you know, a different country. You know, whether that be a home nation or whether that be, I don't know, Barbados or.
Potentially like people like the world champs is a level above the commies, and then looking at probably the England team, we might see athletes going to the world champs who can't,
not qualifying for the commies. It's backwards. Imagine explaining that to your granny and grandma's, like, oh yeah, you're watching the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, but yeah, the guy you're watching, we've got two guys better than him, but they're both sitting at home. Or the lady you're watching, yeah, we've got two people better than her, but they're sitting at home because they can only take one per event. Do you know what I mean? How stupid is that? You know? So, like, yeah. But it takes something.
I think selection races would be exciting. Like going back to the question in terms of, but like it's just whether like you could fit how many champs in, like especially this year. Definitely not this year. I don't think you could have a.
Well, you couldn't. The problem is there would be no point having a selection this year because the numbers to fill the team, even if you like
want a top one, wouldn't it?
Well, no. Even a top one, they can't. There's not enough people to take for every single event.
Yeah, so
every single discipline,
and they wouldn't even you wouldn't even be guaranteed anyway. Yeah,
yeah.
So,
or there might be, but what happens if you have two people who are ranked one and two in the Commonwealth? You know, obviously you're going to take them, but for the whole, I mean, I always thought the Commonwealth Games is like the stepping stone, and you know, look at when we had that home one in Glasgow, what that did to Scottish athletics. They just celebrated. They put everyone they could in there. And I believe like it's not actually a home nation thing. It is just a Commonwealth Games thing. But I mean, how much longer can that event go ahead? I mean, I swear just us and Australia just share it out. Just alternate. And yeah, it's going to be a shame to watch the commies. And yeah, it's just not going to be.
It's not
going to be as stacked as it should be. And you're always going to know that. And I think that's the disappointing thing, to be honest with you.
Okay, what three things would I guess we didn't even really answer that last question, but I get it's just impossible at the moment with the kind of teams for the commies, basically, but it'd be a different
I think to put more weight on a home nation, like obviously the national cross does exceptionally well, and to have an England champs would be a good thing.
Obviously,
I think in future years, it could be, but there's too much going on this year with the world champs, with the Europeans. There's too much going on. Usually it's just Commonwealth is in its own year with the Euros. I think that definitely could happen.
British champs for the Euros, and then you've got England champs, Welsh champs, whatever. And then people actually have to do two champs maybe to qualify. So potentially could work in the future. What three things would you do to improve audience engagement with champs? British champs is a funny one, isn't it? Because it's like we should have people.
There's countless things. When you go to the event itself, you rock up. We rocked up last year. There was so
how much were the tickets as well. I want to say that as well. How much were the tickets last year? I can't remember, but I remember thinking
20 quid or something. I don't know, 20 quid. But I don't even mind. Like, I don't even mind paying for a ticket that much. Like, that's not my bugbearer. But it's just when I pay for a ticket, and you know, someone go there, and I'm going to do it this year. In fact, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to get a clock on how many times I'm sitting down watching nothing. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. There is so much downtime between events. And I know it's a championship. I know you need to do athlete introductions. I know you need to do medal ceremonies and stuff. But look, for heats, you don't need to do athlete introductions. Crack on. Boom. You know, run the race. It should be race after race after race. You could condense that program into 2 hours. Instead, it's stretched across six. Also, when you talk about athlete engagement, I think there should be clear. I think basically you should club all the distance events together, because basically, you know, there are two types of fans in track and field. It's rare you get someone in track and field who is obsessed with every single discipline in the sport. We're obviously distance heavy. I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast are distance heavy. But look, you know, if you're a distance fan, you want to go there and watch the distance races. You don't want to watch an 800 at 12 o'clock and then have to stay in the stadium till 5 o'clock at night until the 1500 or the 5k goes off. And in between that, you've got hurdles, hundreds. I don't even know what, you know? So look, athlete engagement, if you went there and you said, banging, I've got an hour slot here where I've got 15 heats, 800 final, steeplechase, 5K, boom, you know, I think people would see it worthwhile. You know, but instead what you do is you just separate that audience. And for example, if you're someone who has gone to watch your son, daughter, or whatever friend in an 800 heat or whatever at 12 o'clock, are you really going to stay around till 6 o'clock if you're not that engaged in the sport, bar the person that you're interested in? But if they just finished and you were like, oh, look, the 1500's on now, the 3K's on now. So I think they should just, the programming needs to be so much smarter. Club all the distance races together, club the sprint races together, done. Like I said, speed up the program itself. For heats, you don't need introductions. Just crack on with it. You know,
I'd be interested to know like the stats on like how many people there are going to watch like a person, like you're saying, like a friend or a family member versus
almost everyone. I can probably tell you that.
We say this a lot in terms of just like general meets, like up and down the country, like your open meets. Like the only crowd there are actually people who have traveled with an athlete. And I'm not saying you necessarily travel with these athletes for British champs and things like that. Like giving, that's not like giving your son or daughter a lift necessarily. Like obviously people are doing that, but I think the majority of the crowd still is friends and family of athletes competing. I'd be interested to know how many people actually are going just as pure kind of fans of the sport or fans of sport in general. Mm-hmm. I think it's that's where we need to increase the numbers going to events.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. Those people who aren't going because they, not because they have to, but because they're like emotionally invested.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to be fair, you know, we mentioned, I think you're bang on, man. You know, they should be, I think the number one priority at British champs should be fill the stadium.
Mm. And that's what I mean with the price. I'm not saying I don't mind paying £20 for a ticket or whatever it is, but like if you're not going to fill the stadium, then have loads of like free tickets for like school kids and people like that.
School kids, yeah. School
yeah.
kids, businesses, just whatever.
Just selling for a fiver the night before. I know people might get annoyed that they paid more like a couple of weeks ago, but just get rid of them.
Yeah. Pack the stadium. Raffle them off. Put them in the Sunday podcast prediction contest. Whatever. But, you know, Sports City, I think, is an awesome venue. And I actually hope, I mean, I think next year the trials might be back at Birmingham. I think there's no way in hell you're ever going to fill that stadium. It kind of takes away from the event. I think Sports City is an awesome place to host a British champion.
Even just like the parking and everything's just easy.
But, and you just, the stadium is perfect for the level.
Yeah.
It really is. And it should not
be easily fill that stadium.
It should not be hard to fill that stadium. So, you know, and I think if a stadium's full, there's going to be more athlete engagement. If there's more things going on, there's going to be a lot more audience engagement as well. The athletes would put on a show. They always do, to be honest with you. I think it would be, you know, it's down to the organization to really make British champs more of a spectacle. I mean, it's like Highgate. The only reason you want to go to Highgate is because you know it's going to be rammed and busy.
Yeah. Well, like, it wouldn't be exciting having like all the things that the great things they have on if like there's like five of you there.
Well, yeah, you know, Highgate's like you go there because you know you're going to bump into all these people that you haven't seen and you only see them once a year at running races, you know, because they're from all over the country. And it's like British champs should be the same.
Mm.
It really should.
If you're looking at the calendar, thinking what race am I going to go to this year, over a Diamond League, I think you should want to go to your home champs. That should be.
Well, how about that? You know, how about anyone outside the standard for the British champs? You know, you get a heavily discounted ticket to go and watch. You know, they should be encouraging athletes to go and watch as well.
Yeah. We touched upon this earlier. Should there be more rounds or would that reduce standards too much? I think we basically said earlier that in an ideal world, yes, but I just don't think we're ready yet in this country for that. It would just be too much to have like, say, like three rounds in an eight and definitely not two rounds in a 5K.
I'm going to just run you through the, I think the rounds, I think it's a perfect amount. And I actually think it makes, you know, we talk about audience engagement. I think it makes the heat so much more exciting, knowing that there's actually more at stake. If it's
a 800, so like, a big name will not make the final.
Yeah. But that's exciting. That's why our sport's so good. That's why sport is so good to watch. You know, if you know, the heats is top four to qualify and X amount of fastest losers, like,
Well, it's like in football when they do like the World Cup group stages and it's like the two best third place teams can go through. It's just you can get through on just ridiculously low number of points. It's pointless.
Yeah. Right. I'm just looking at the timetable now. The British Champs on Saturday starts at 10 o'clock. It's all the way till 6:50 at night. who in their right mind is going to sacrifice 8 hours of their day to watch all that?
Well, and let's put it this way. Like, I know, like, me and you are obviously massive fans of the sport. Like, we do a running podcast every week. Let's put it that way. We were not there the whole time last year. And if people, like, obviously, I'm sure there's people out there, bit bigger fans than us, clearly, who will go there for that whole time. But I think if people like me and you can't go and, or don't want to go and sit there for the whole thing, that there's something wrong.
Yeah, so if you're a fan of distance running, you could watch the 800 heat at 2:15 in the afternoon on Saturday, and then you would have to wait an hour and a half to watch a 1500 final. In what other sport do you have to wait more than 10 minutes before you watch what you want to see? You know, and then, of course, if you then want to hang around and then go on to watch a 3000 meter steeplechase final, that's another hour after the women's 15 final. And then if you want to watch the 5K final, that's going to be 2.5 hours after the steeplechase final. And the women's 5K is at 6:15 at night. So if you are a distance fan, you're in for a very, very, very long day. Some of you won't mind. Some of you will.
Yeah, a few trips to the burger van in there.
But yeah, and I know it can't be helped. I know that, you know, you've got so many disciplines that it can't be helped. But this is why I'm saying club them together, speed them along.
Yeah, you say it can't be helped, but there are things they could do. Like, you can make that timetable better.
Well, look at this. The 800 final, an 800 race takes less than 2 minutes for the men. And they've allowed 10 minutes. Why not just have it 5 minutes? 5K race takes 15 minutes and they've allowed 25 minutes. And I know it's for the introductions and stuff, but, you know, already there's 20 minutes there, which is wasted. And you do that over, I don't even know, X amount of races. It's probably about 2 hours, maybe more, of watching nothing.
Well, like, let's put it this way. How excited does it get on, like, a Watford Wednesday when the last kind of 10 distance races go down because they're just popping up every 2 minutes?
Exactly.
We just sat on the bank saying, oh, that guy in the blue shoes, he's going to win this one. Placing our bets. And that sometimes is more exciting than our champs, like, in terms of kind of a whole kind of evening's racing. But anyway, we've moved on from that question. Keely stepping down to 400, which other athlete would you love to see at a different event in the champs? I think obviously one that's potentially there, I'd really be interested to see Ailish in this 15 if she does contest it, but I think it'd be more interesting if it was the likes of all five of those girls we mentioned earlier that could be doing it. I think that could be really good. What about you, Matt?
I'd probably say I would like to see Whiteman in the 8. I would like to see Giles do a 15.
Mark Scott in a 15.
Nah.
he's running a pretty quick one, hasn't he? So
yeah, I would like to see Whiteman in an 800. And yeah,
well, he did in that in the COVID year. He ran the 8, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so other than that, I'm just trying to think who else is out there that I think would be interesting to see them. So I think
Logan would be interesting, but I think Keely's rightly probably only one. Oh, I guess Laura Muir's doing the 8. Keely's probably, like, rightly the only one that has the luxury of doing it.
She could probably.
I'd probably rather her in the 15. I'm probably more interested to see that though.
Keely doing 1500. That would be interesting. I mean, she's going to be. I don't know what 400 of rankings are like, but if she runs 52 or 51, like, I swear that is like.
Well, I presume she's doing it to get a relay spot.
So
just for training.
Yeah, she must be in with a shout of a medal, if not like even the win. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wins the 1500 and why is it Matt Stonier?
Why is it Matt Stonier?
Yeah. I mean, if Matt Stonier does win the 1500, I'll be very impressed and I think that would be a great upset.
Not a chance.
But no, I don't think we think so. I think if there was maybe one kind of big boy, if you like, in that race, maybe, but with kind of the four we outlined in Gourley, Whiteman, Hayward and Kerr, I can't see it.
Not a chance.
Josh Kerr doesn't have the form or 1500 winning momentum going into champs that he had last year. Should he be worried or does it not matter because he'll surely get the third discretionary spot regardless of the outcome of the champs? Well, yeah, we already kind of said he's maybe not be worried, but we're not sure he will be getting the top two. Do you think they'd give him the discretionary spot if he came fourth?
Man, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Look, how about this dynamic? Whiteman comes third, Gawley and Hayward come first and second.
Yeah, I think that's where the decisions would be the most difficult. I think if it's Hayward or
look, if Whiteman is
if it's Hayward or Gawley third, they potentially pick Kerr over them.
Yeah,
I don't mean Kerr over Whiteman.
I don't think they would given Kerr's form as well.
I think they're picking over the other two.
That is
rightly or wrongly.
Yeah.
That's a good question. So we don't know. Basically, I mean, it depends.
I feel like British Athletics would actually pick the top three.
I mean, it should. Yeah.
Because you know, you have to look at Kerr's form this year as well.
To be fair, I remember us saying last year, I think the selection was a bit better last year, wasn't it? We didn't have too many.
No. Yeah. And
it was maybe about 3-4 years ago, we used to get a few.
But then obviously at what point, you know, when do you discount or discard an Olympic bronze medalist, you know? But if their form isn't up to scratch, you know, and I'd say if you can't finish top three at the British Championships.
Yeah.
Very unlikely.
The difference if you're flying. If you flew last year, you're flying this season, and then you like one back.
Maybe muck up on the day or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, if you haven't really been
out. Like, say Akili, if you didn't have a spot, you'd be like,
yeah, fine. Yeah, obviously. But yeah. You know, if you can't get top three at British Champs, you know, 4 weeks out from the World Champs, I don't think you deserve to go.
Mm.
No matter how good you are.
Yeah. Last question then. Since British Athletics are inviting athletes to compete, should they provide support for them, i.e. travel, hotel or other?
It's a good point.
It is a good point. And obviously do you think they should? I mean, yeah, I guess the question is, do you think they should? I think, yeah, we think they should. We think, always think that there's things for athletes, particularly of like the level of athletes making British champs who aren't who like won't have support and stuff, because look, if you're running a British champ standard, you are like in any other pretty much any other sport, if you're that level, you're like an elite athlete.
Well, so, you know, yeah. Well, take last year, you're competing for, I know many people in the race, you know, weren't competing for an Olympic spot given they didn't have an Olympic qualifying time.
Yeah, you are. It's the Olympic.
They're at the Olympic trials, and considering, you know, you probably should. You know, there probably should be a hotel that athletes can get put up in should they require it, and they should maybe be reimbursed, and maybe more should be done for that as well. You know, take, I don't know.
Well, let's look at like the US, and obviously we don't have the depth they do, but if you make the US trials, you're a professional athlete. For the most part. We don't have that. And I know our standards aren't as high, but it's a good level. And the standards aren't as high because we just don't have that in the country. You can only be in the top whatever of whoever we've got. It's not the athlete's fault that they're not all 1250 guys.
I think we would love it to happen. It should happen. But logistically, it's just the chances of that ever happening. Because then you think every single event, you know, in the distance alone, there's what, like 30 or 40 people getting qualifying standards in distance races. Like, do you imagine the cost that would be across all these events? It'd be monumental. So, you know, I think that's why I'm kind of just like, no, but, you know, at the same time, I don't know.
But yeah, but then at the same time, British Athletics are selling tickets for this event of entertainment. Like, they are selling tickets for entertainment, and these athletes are the ones putting on a show.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good point.
If that's like another
yeah,
in life, if this is a gig or whatever, like the people performing are going to get paid.
Very good.
What
other questions are there, man?
I mean, that's it. I think that's
the ones that we could answer.
Yeah,
a lot of ones that we couldn't answer.
So thank you for those, because some of those questions we couldn't answer, they did make us chuckle. And if you want answers to them, I guess you can message us personally. We might say who we think.
Happily.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed this. I think, Matt, we've been rambling for a while now. But hopefully, if you've made it to the end, well done. And hopefully we provided you some entertainment. Hopefully our opinions are somewhat informed and you either like them or dislike them. Doesn't really matter, but hopefully you've enjoyed listening to the podcast regardless.
Absolutely. And yeah, tune in for the prediction contest coming out at some point.
Yeah, should be tomorrow for you guys. Oh, that's the point as well. Next week's pod will be slightly delayed going up, because rather than doing like our normal comes out midnight on Saturday, so you can listen to it anytime Sunday, it's going to come out Sunday evening, because we are going to go live reaction, if you like, from post-British Champs. Matt and I are going to record something Sunday afternoon as soon as the events are finished, and just review the whole thing and get that up ASAP for you. So it'll be next Sunday. It'll be out on Sunday, but it'll be in the evening. So unfortunately, you won't be able to kind of wake up and have it in the morning, as I know some of you like to do. And some people listen at midnight, I've seen on the stats. Like, so thank you that must be listening as soon as the clock strikes 12, because appreciate the support. But thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.